We mentioned in Yeshaya MS, there's a famous Gemara that discusses Korach. This week's parash is Korach. And we know, let me take a step back. On Simchas Torah, one of the popular songs is Moshe MS, Visayrosa MS. Moshe MS, Visayrosa MS. Okay, we all know the song. So I once searched, I don't know where it says it. Maybe you could. I give you homework. You go home, and you show me in the Machzor. It's certainly not in the Siddur. It's not in the Hakafas. The Hakafas. It's not in the Hakafas. So where is it? I want to see where it says this Nusach. Everyone sings, Moshe Emes, this Rosh Emes, jump up and down. Where does it say these words? Which Pizmain? Which song? Is it part of the Hakafas? Couldn't find it. So I took out a Machzor, and the Machzor has, you know, the elaborate edition of the Hakafas, and I couldn't find it there either. It was searched from beginning to end, so I don't know where it comes from. But the theme comes from the Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't know what the Gemara is, because I wasn't really planning on telling this, it's just a thing that we just learned this now. We learned this now with regard to Melech HaMashiach, and it fits very well into what we learned about Melech HaMashiach. But the Gemara tells us about, it's in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, that's where it is. In Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek talks about that they were traveling, one of the Tanoim, the Amorim, was traveling in the desert, and he met an Arab, and the Arab said to him, come, do you want to see the place where Korach was swallowed? We learned this with Parsha, Vayivla Ha'aretz, as Korach, the earth swallowed up Korach, his children, the Noshim, the Taf, everyone that was in the entire, the 250 men, all of the people that were associated with Korach were swallowed up in the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a new Beriah, the Pi Ha'aretz, swallowed them up. Person came close to the Arab, told this Tana, come, I'll show you where Korach was swallowed. And it was smoke coming out of the ground, and they took cotton, they soaked in water, they took some type of instrument, and they dipped the cotton balls, the cotton, these thick pieces of cotton that was soaked in water, they put it into the ground, and it was instantly scorched, instantly burnt. You can only imagine how hot the heat of what was going on down there for the Adas Korach. And then the Arab said that every 30 days, if you come here and you listen, you can hear them say, Moshe Emes Vehein Badoin. Moshe is Emes, and they, Korach, are, and that assembly, they are liars. So I'm assuming that Nusach of Gemara, Moshe Emes, the Hein Badoin, is the source of the popular song Moshe Emes Visayrasay Emes. Because where else in Chazal do we have this expression? I don't believe it's anywhere else than this makom here. Moshe Emes Visayrasay Emes, and they the Hein Badoin. What is liars? Beis Dalet Aleph. Beis Dalet Aleph Yud Nun, they are liars. They're just what's the significance of them saying Moshe Emes Vehein Badoin? And for that matter, what is the significance that the Melech HaMashiach, his tafkid is to teach the world Emes? Emes is Russia, is Aleph Mem Sof. There are many different themes of Emes, but one of the themes of Emes is the Aseres Hadibros begins with the letter Aleph. The Aseres Hadibros, to a large degree, captures or is symbolic of Torah Shebichsav. Nem is the first letter of the Mishnayis. Me'emosai Kari Neshma Be'arvis. And Tof is the first letter of the Gemara, of Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli begins Tana Mehecha Koi. The first line of Gemara, Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, Mehechon Koi, what is he referring to when he begins the Mishnah with the words Me'emasai Korin Eshma Ba'arvis? So Aleph is Torah Shebichsav, Mem is the first letter of Mishnayis, and Tov is the first letter of the Talmud, which captures the entire Shalshelas HaTorah. Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebal Peh. And Torah Shebal Peh itself is broken down into two parts, Mishnayis and Talmud, which represents a chain of tradition of Mesorah going from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who received, who codified the primary tradition of Torah Shebal Peh, and the Gemara, which represents the every generation's ability to interpret the Torah and to understand the Torah and be mechadesh the Divrei Torah. It really represents the complete, encompasses the complete, the Torah in its total form. Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebichsav that was given to Moshe Mitzrayim, and the koyach of every generation to relate to the Torah Shebal Peh through studying Torah Shebal Peh. Mishnayis is the Torah Shebal Peh, and the Talmud represents our ability to relate and to understand and be mechadesh the Torah in Torah Shebal Peh. Emes. So that's really what they were saying. They were saying Moshe Emes v'Salasa Emes, because the challenge Moshe Rabbeinu was Kol Amku is who says, there are many midrashim where Korach mocked. He mocked Moshe Rabbeinu's interpretation of the Torah Shebal Peh. Hashem gave the Torah Shebichsav to the entire Klal Yisrael, and Hat Matan Torah. Hashem spoke the Aseres Adibros. The Aseres Adibros, Chazal tell us, captures the entire Torah Shebichsav. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael things that it doesn't say in the Torah. Taught Klal Yisrael all many chidushim. Korach mocked the interpretations or the tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. A bias that has a mezuzah. It's Potter. But if you have a bias that's Mole Svarim, you have 1,000 Sefer Torah in one room, does it require a mezuzah? Of course it does. But Karach Kal V'Chomer, if a bias that's empty, you put one mezuzah on the outside, the bias is exempt. Alachas Kam V'Kam, if the bias is full of Svarim, so why should you be required to put a mezuzah? Karach interpreted the Torah according to his understanding, but his understanding is not the tradition that was given from by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. This was his challenge. He came to acknowledge Moshe Emes v'Soyrasoy Emes, and this is what it says. We just learned by Yeshaya, the task of the Melech HaMashiach is to teach the world Emes. Emes doesn't just mean truth. Emes alludes to the deeper understanding to the tradition that Hashem has created the world with Torah, and Hashem has given the Klal Yisrael Torah Shebal Peh, and in Torah Shebal Peh is the true understanding of the Torah Shebichsav, and with this understanding we can understand how to live, how to conduct ourselves in this world. This will be the role of Mashiach, to reveal and to bring this theme into the world, Emes. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Me'emosai Tana Mehecha Koi. Okay, let's go.
Yes.
What?
So what is this by Korach that he says
Moshe Emes? This is already after. This is a Chassidus Shavar. The Chassidus Shavar that says Moshe Emes v'Saros Emes, but the Hein Badoin, they don't really believe it. The Hein Badoin is not what they, it's not part of their statement. Moshe Emes, all they say is Moshe Emes v'Saros Emes. That is what they are told to say. In the Gehenim, they are being forced to say these words. But there's a baskel that comes out of Shemaim that says, Vehein Badoin. They don't believe it.
It should be Banachnu Badoin.
Because if they really believe what they were saying, they wouldn't be in Gehenim anymore. Hashem would take them out of Gehenim. Gehenim is only a correction facility. It's not a punitive place.
What? The education.
Exactly. So if they're still saying it, they're still burning. The Baskol is saying to them, behind them. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah.
When you go hardball,
yeah. Oh, they say it then? Yes. I never knew that. Interesting.
Then they say,
interesting. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a discussion. What exactly is the sin of Korach? It's very, very hard to fully comprehend what was the point of disagreement between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach, L'chayr is right. Kol ha'am kulam kidosh v'sechem Hashem. The whole Klal Yisrael is holy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave authority to the entire Klal Yisrael. So why is it that you, Moshe, elevate yourself over the rest of the assembly? Okay, so he's challenging the honor. Why everyone should be a Kohen, everyone should be a Levi, there should be equality. there are many ways to understand Korach. You can learn Korach very simply. He's come to challenge authority. He's come to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kohuna, the Leviah. He was jealous. He was not here. He was jealous of his cousin. He was not appointed to a high position as a Nasi. But especially among the Hasidim, they very much try to elevate Korach. It's not really clear why, to understand where he was coming from. Many of the Hasidish Sfarim write that if we were living in the time of Korach, it would be very, very hard not to be persuaded by Korach. Korach was a very, very great holy person. He was very charismatic, and he was a brilliant person, and he had a lot more to offer. And it was a very fine point where he went wrong. And from where, once you go went wrong, okay, there's no limit to how far you can go once you go off. But the starting point where he deviated from Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chut HaSara. And that Chut HaSara is what eventually opened up the Machloikis, and, you know, talk about Malchus of Rechavam and Yeram Ben Nevat. So what did Yeravam do? Yeravam, in the beginning, it couldn't have been that there was such a great difference between Rechavam and Yeravam. And yet what happened? He made an Egel, he made his own Beis HaMikdash. Once one goes off a little bit, then there's no end to how far he can go. But what exactly is the difference? So the Chozem Yilublin, okay, he very much tries to elevate Korach, or to understand the depth of who Korach was. Other Hasidic Sfarim did the same thing. I saw in one sefer, I don't know the name of the sefer, I can't even pronounce the name of this Hasidic Rebbe, but he says that the difference between Korach and Moshe is the difference between Tfilin of Rashi and the Tfilin Rabbeinu Tam. That's what he says. It's a famous fart. This is among the Hasidic Sfarim. This is a famous Yisoid. The chilik between, again, one more time, Korach and Moshe. Moshe is the tefillin of Rashi, and Korach is the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. What does that mean? Many have come along throughout generations to take that as a foundation to understand, to try to understand Moshe and Korach. So I want to follow in this way. I present you with a little bit a raw idea. What I'm about to tell you is not a complete idea, just chomer l'drush, something to think about. But at least in the process, we can discuss the tefillin of Rashi and the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, first, what is the chilik between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? I have to be very well aware that no one today wears Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, for real. If Rabbeinu Tam were here and you would show him a pair of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin that someone paid $1,500 for, he would say, these are not my tefillin. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, there are so many differences in how you make tefillin, it wouldn't be kosher, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the parashos are not supposed to be standing. The parashos are supposed to be flat. The batim wouldn't be four batim like we are familiar with. It would be horizontal layers. Okay, there are a lot of differences. The point is, when we refer to a tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, we're only referring to one difference, one very, very small difference between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. The order of how the parashios are put in the tefillin. Everyone agrees that when you write tefillin, you have to write the tefillin according to the order of the Torah. First, parashas Kaddish, then is V'hoyoki Yiviyachal, two parashios at the end of parashas Bo. Then everyone agrees. You write Parashas Shema, and then you write Parashas V'choyo Im Shema. Everyone agrees that it must be written in this order, both Rashi and what we call Rabbeinu Tam. The only difference between the way those who wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin after Rashi is where Rabbeinu Tam puts in the batim the parasha of Shema V'choyo Im Shema. Rabbeinu Tam reverses the order. First is the second parasha of Kriya Shema, V'choyo Im Shemaya, and then is the first parasha of Kriya Shema of Shema. So the order would be Kaddish, V'choyo Ki Yiviyacho, V'choyo Im Shemaya, and then Shema. That is according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, Kadesh Vayoki Yiviyacha Shema V'Hoya Im Shemawa. What's the basic difference? The two V'Hoyas are next to each other. According to the Tzilin of Rabbeinu Tam, V'Hoya Ki Yiviyacha is right next to V'Hoya Im Shemawa. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying the physical position in the bottom is the same as the order that they put in, or the physical...
No, the physical position is different, but the order that it's written, when you write it, you have to write it in a certain order. But when you position it in the batim, you put it in a different position.
The shel yad is reversed, though?
Yes, the shel yad, yeah, and the weir is on the cloth. Yeah, yeah, it's reversed. So here's the idea. So the way to remember it is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the two v'hoyos are next to each other. V'hoya ki v'yacha is right next to v'hoya im shamoa. And the extremes, you have Kadesh and you have Shema. In the Tzilin of Rashi, no, the Hoyas are not next to each other. It's Kadesh, V'Hoya Ki Yiviyacha, Shema V'Hoya Im Shema. Now what is the significance of reversing the order of Kadesh, of Shema and V'Hoya Im Shema? So most of the Farshim work with the Yisod, which we're not going to go into, is that the first parsha of Kriya Shema is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven. And the second parasha of Kriya Shema, the Hoya Im Shemoa, is where you accept upon yourself the yoke of mitzvos, the Ol HaMitzvos, to do Hashem's commandments. The Hoya Im Shemoa Tishmu El Mitzvosai, if you will listen to my commandments. Parasha of Shema means, are you a member? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The parasha of Shema means we're a member. We're members of this club. We're part of Hashem's club. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now that we're members, there are certain rules. What are the rules? The rules are you do the Tayag Mitzvahs. What comes first? What comes first? This is the chilik between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi, what comes first is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You first must declare that you acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator. After you acknowledge He is the Creator, then you accept upon yourself to do His Mitzvahs. In Rabbeinu Tam, that's also true, because it must be written in that fashion. You also write it in that fashion, but the emphasis in where it's positioned is you have to come to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing Hashem's mitzvahs. There are some people, many people that are misguided. They think they do the mitzvahs, there are two different approaches. When you do the mitzvos, by doing the mitzvos, you will come to appreciate your Creator. Or, no, acknowledge that there is a Creator, and you're safe. And then it's a nice thing to do the mitzvos. There are two different orders. That is the basic approach to understand. I'm just telling you raw bullet points. But this is the basic difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim first, then comes Kabbalas HaMitzvos. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Kabbalas HaMitzvos first, and then Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's not 100% true either, because even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's only in how they are positioned in the Tefillin, not in the way they are written. Even according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's also an acknowledgement that there must be some degree of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim before there is Kabbalas HaMitzvos. Okay, that's an approach. With that approach, you can delve deeply into understand the difference between Moshe and Korach, which one is primary, which one is secondary, which one comes first, and how can you go wrong if you put too much emphasis on mitzvos without focusing on Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. That is the run of the mill. That is how a lot of the parshas reveal something to think about. Okay, I want to just tell you something a little bit different. Now, what's the difference? Let me just take a step back. The mitzvah of tefillin is a very unique mitzvah. Why do I say it's a very unique mitzvah? Because it was given to Klal Yisrael in a very early stage in their development. It was given to them in Parshas Bo, right after Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and Hashem says to Klal Yisrael is going to be, I want you to prepare a Korban Pesach, I want you to prepare for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right away at the end of Parshas Bo, during the Makos, towards the end of the Makos, all of a sudden after the Makos are over and Makos Bechoros takes place, right before Vayhi B'Shalach Parai, before they leave Egypt, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I want you to make for yourself tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin was given at the end of the Aten Makos, at the end of Makos Bucharos, before Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in fact, it says in the Medrash, a fascinating Medrash, which opens up a whole new understanding into the mitzvah of Tefillin. The Medrash says, and that's really where I'm coming to, the Medrash says that where did the Jewish people get leather to make for themselves Tefillin? Here, Makos Bucharos just happened. They're about to leave Egypt. They're going to leave Egypt very shortly. And Hashem says, I want everyone to make Tefillin. Where did they get leather to make Tefillin? The Medrash says they took the leather from the Korban Pesach. All the people in Klal Yisrael were busy sacrificing the Korban Pesach to roast the meat, but you don't roast the skin. The hide is not eaten. The animal is flayed, and you roast the meat. The skin was taken off. They used the skin of the Korban Pesach to make for themselves Tefillin. From this Medrash we learn a very interesting result, is that Tefillin is very much related to the Korban Pesach. Being that the same animal, the first Korban Pesach of Klal Yisrael, its skin was used to make the first set of Tefillin that Klal Yisrael wore, there is obviously a relationship. Now let's go further. What happened? There were people that were not able to bring the first Korban Pesach. Why not? Because they were about to leave, and they had to collect some of the bones of the dead who had to be taken out of Egypt, namely Yosef. The Aron of Yosef had to be retrieved before they left Egypt, and there were people which came in contact with this casket who became Tamei. And they were unable to eat the first Korban Pesach. So what do we learn? We learn later on, this is not the first, this is the second year in the desert. But we learn later on about the people in the second year in the desert, the second Korban Pesach, that were Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam. They were unable to bring the Korban Pesach, and they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said to him the words, Lama Migara. Why should we be denied the opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach? Moshe said, you have a good taina. I don't know what to tell you. You couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. No, you're really exempt. But you really feel denied. You feel deprived. Let me speak to Hashem. Maybe we can do something for you. And Hashem said, the truth is, the way the Mefarshim learned, the truth is, I had no plan for this. The truth is, the person is exempt. If a person is not well, he can't daven, so you don't daven. So you're sick, you don't daven. So the next day, can you make it up? You can't make it up. You're exempt. Go on. Next year, there'll be another opportunity. No, we don't want to lose out on that opportunity. This year's opportunity. Hashem said, because you feel so bad and it means so much to you, I'm going to create a new mitzvah. I'm going to create for you Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni for those individuals who were deprived and desired not to be to lose out on the precious mitzvah. So I want to suggest, and rise to this, not go into all the details now, that the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is the difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Rashi, the Tilna of Rashi is Pesach Rishon. What's the order? The order is first Shema and then V'hoya im Shamoa. What is Shema? Besides the difference, I focused on originally, we started with the fundamental difference between Shema and V'hoya im Shamoa. Shema is Kabbalah Slamach Amach Shemaim. V'hoya im Shamoa is Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. There's another major fundamental difference between the two parashios. Parsha Shema is for the individual. The entire Parsha of Shema focuses on the Yochid, the individual. The Parsha of the Hoya im Shamoya focuses, addresses the Tzibur. Very big difference. In the Tefillin of Rashi, what comes first? First comes the Yochid, and then comes the Tzibur. First Shema, and then the Hoya im Shema. In the parsha of Rabbeinu Tam, first comes the Hoya im Shema, the Tzibur, and then comes Shema the Yochid. What's the difference? Because in Rashi's Tefillin, all of the Yechidim are coming first, they come together, they do their thing, and many Yechidim come together to form a Tzibur. There's a progression. We have many individuals. It's like we daven every day. All of the individuals daven a private Shmona Esrei. We daven together, and then the Shliach Tzibur repeats the Shmona Esrei on behalf of all of the individuals. So all of the Yechidim present themselves, and by presenting themselves, they form a group which produces the Koyach Tzibur. The Yechidim come together to produce, to create a Koyach Tzibur. I'm an individual, but I want to join with you and with you and with you to bring out this koyach. But sometimes there are yechidim that are left out. Not every individual is able to make it to the meeting, to come together and be part of that group which forms the tzibur. There are individuals that are left out. No, they're left out. Okay, they're left out. So what could you do? Oynes Rachmana Patre. They didn't make it. The tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam is Lama Nigora. Why should the individual who was unable to make it, to join, to shteltzu, to attach themselves to a group, why should they be left out? Those individuals who are lost souls, they also need some tikkun. Therefore, in the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, first comes the tzibur, first comes the parasha v'haya im shamaya, the tzibur. The tzibur is over, it's finished. But even after the tzibur is finished, you could have a shema, a yechidim, which come afterwards, which also can attach themselves at a later point in time. Just like the Pesach Sheni, what is the whole essence of Pesach Sheni? The essence of Pesach Sheni is that Tzibur already did their thing. The Tzibur finished. They brought the Korban Pesach on Chodesh Nisan. It's over. They put away the Pesach dishes. Everyone's eating chametz. I'm a yachid. I wake up a month later. I just wasn't ready for Pesach. I wasn't able to be there, to be part of this experience, this spiritual experience. Am I lost forever? Am I a goner? Lama nigara. I also want to attach myself to this Kedusha. I just couldn't make it on time. Hashem says, for those neshamos, there's also a solution. You can come late. We'll take care of you. Yechidim can come at a later point in time. That's Pesach Sheni, and that's the essence of Tfilin de Rabbeinu Tam. We have the Tzibur, the Hoya im Shamoya. The Parsha of the Hoya im Shamoya is B'loshon Rabin. The Tzibur is here. The Tzibur is doing its thing. They are presenting themselves. They're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's over. But don't worry. Even after they're finished, it's not too late for those lost souls. They can also come and attach themselves later on. Lama nigara, they can come later on. That's the tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. Tefillin of Rashi is normal. What's a normal, healthy situation? The individuals come together, and by coming together, they form a tzibur. So to review, there is no question that tefillin is associated with Karban Pesach. The proof is tefillin was given to Klal Yisrael while they were offering the Karban Pesach. While they were preparing the Karban Pesach, Hashem says to Moshe, go tell Klal Yisrael, I got a new mitzvah for you. I just can't wait. It's not going to wait for Matan Torah. I got a new mitzvah. I got to tell you about this mitzvah right now, tefillin. And take the hide of your Karban Pesach and make it into tefillin. So since we see that there is a relationship between tefillin and Karban Pesach, and because we know that there are two different types of tefillin, there's a tefillin of Rashi, and there's a tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, and we know there are two different types of Karban Pesach, there's a Pesach Rishon and a Pesach Sheni, it's only fair to say is that the regular tefillin of Rashi correspond to the regular Karban Pesach. And the Pesach the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam correspond to the Pesach Sheni, and it makes logical sense because of what is the only difference between the two parashios of tefillin. It's the order of the parashios, which perfectly corresponds to the essence of what is Pesach Rishon and what is Pesach Sheni. Now we come to the Chassidus Rebbe. This is the chilek between Moshe and Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu says society, there has to be structure in society. The rebellion of Korach was against the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it was. It was against the structure of leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the top. Our Moshe represents the Levim. Our represents the Kohanim. It goes down in Mesorah. This goes in Yichus. Not everyone can be a leader. Not everyone can do what they want. There's a certain structure that society has. The Yechidim, all of the individuals of Klal Yisrael, have to shtel tzuv to the structure. There's a tzibur. There's a structure of the group. There is a government. There is a society. The society is the way it has been decided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says this is the structure with Moshe here, Aaron here, and then there are Nesim who are the Yisraelim. This is the way it is. All of the individuals have to come forward and attach themselves, present themselves, join up to the group, like the Tefillin of Rashi. Tefillin of Rashi is, first comes Shema, and then comes V'hoya im Shemoya. Shema is the Yochid, V'hoya im Shemoya is the Tzibur. There's a Seder. The Yechidim present themselves and fit into the mold. They fit into the template. Everyone take your place. Korach comes along and says, I don't like this. I don't like this. Good, you have a Tzibur. You have a structure. There's a Tzibur, there's a society. There's a government. Everyone has a place. Lo manigora. I'm not a kohen. I'm not a nasi. I'm just an ordinary guy. Lo manigora. I want to break down the structure of society. I'm on the outside. This is the structure is there, but I also want to have a chelek. I also want to break in. I also want to be something important, and change the structure of society. That's the mistake. In other words, there's no such thing in halacha in only wearing a Rabbeinu Tam. You never see a person, not allowed to. It's kfira. For a person today, I only wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. That is kfira. You wear Rashi tefillin. This is the halacha. After you wear Rashi tefillin, you're a Baal Madrega. You know what Rabbeinu Tam tefillin represents. A holy person. And you feel that you're ready for it. Many people, they don't put Rabbeinu Tam tefillin until much later in life. Some Hasidim wear it right away when they get married. Okay, some wear it when they get married. Some wear it. Okay, there are those that wear Bar Mitzvah already. There are many groups by Hasidim where you don't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin until the Rebbe tells you to put it on. You don't wear that's the custom by many groups. You every Shabbos, every so often, you come to visit the Rebbe, and the Rebbe, when he decides, when he thinks, he says to you, put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And again, this is all part of the philosophy of Hasidus. The Rebbe knows his Hasidim. He knows this Hasid is now 70 years old. It's time for him to do it. He has other Hasidim. They're 50 years old. He marries off a grandchild. The first time he marries off a grandchild. You're coming to a new tkuf in your life. Now you do it. Some Hasidim, never. He'll never tell them to put it on. It's not for you. It's not for you. You don't get it. The Rebbe, he knows his Hasidim. The Rebbe has to tell you to do it. You don't just do it. You don't just put on a Beinu Tam. The Iker is Rashi. What's the Iker? You have to know that there's a society, there's a structure, there's a Klal Yisrael. And you can't break down the barriers of the structure. Klal Yisrael is set up the way it's set up. There is Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, everything is Al Mikoimo. Then if a Yochid, after you acknowledge Tzilin of Rashi, you want Epis a little more. I want more. I'm not satisfied. I want to be able to shy, go higher. Okay, you can go higher.
The Vilna Gaon did not wear.
A Vilna Gaon, okay, the Vilna Gaon. Okay, you're right. Okay. You want to go, the concepts are there though. There's something called Pesach Sheni.
But the people who eat Pesach Rishon, do they eat Pesach Sheni?
No, they don't eat Pesach Sheni.
They don't eat Pesach Sheni.
Okay. Elu ve'elu. I'm saying it's not a contradiction to Chas Shom, to the Vilna Gaon, Chas Shom. Chas v'shalom, there's no, but the theme is there. You, after you know society, you want a little more. You want, yes, but there has to be a balance, has to be moderation, and you have to know your place. To start off with Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, to right away say, I'm going to break down the barriers of society and do what I want. It's a churban. This is a churban. This is the mistake of Korach. Korach, he wanted to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin without Rav Rashi's Tfilin. That's really the essence. Rabbeinu Tam is a higher Madrega. I want the Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin without the Rashi Tfilin. This is the essence of what Rabbeinu Tam of the Machlokes of Korach based upon this. So just review really the Yisodos. I think there's a lot going on over here. This Yisod. We have here Tfilin. Tfilin Ashayich to Korban Pesach. Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, Tfilin of Rashi, Tfilin of Rabbeinu Tam, the order of the Parshios. I told you the basic Yisod, which you have to think about. That is really right. That I didn't tell you the run of the mill. I told you Drush, but the run of the mill is the chilud between Shema and Hayim Shmaya is Kabbalas Omal Choshamayim and Kabbalas Hamitzvos. That mahalach. We work with that mahalach. We work with the mahalach of the Yochid versus the individual. And the Yachid versus the individual, that explains the between until the Ratzin and until the Tam. Shal Hayim Shemaya. This Moshe, you have to go in order. Rashi, and then Rabbeinu Tam. And even Rabbeinu Tam, you have to know how to deal with Rabbeinu Tam. You got to be very careful. Korach was Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Rashi, Moshe is Rashi tefillin. Chayil of Moshe of Korach is Rabbeinu Tam without Rashi. That is wrong. Okay, let me tell you another vart. A shorter vart. We learn about in the aftermath of the rebellion of Korach, Baruch, you look disturbed. Okay, we'll talk later.
Tom undoes Rashi. Rabbeinu Tom, putting him in a different order, you're saying, okay...
No, you're not.
You've taken...
Puk chazim ma'amad dvar, half of Klai Yisrael, where's Rabbeinu Tom tefillin? What?
The Vilna Gaon did not wear Rabbeinu Tom tefillin.
So the Vilna Gaon, Eil v'Eil, Divul Gim Chayim, there's not only one mahalach in halacha. There's only one mahalach in halacha. Shulchan Aruch, go look at Shulchan Aruch, it says to Rabbeinu Tom tefillin. There's simonim in Shulchan Aruch. The Gura didn't wear Rabbeinu Tom, for whatever reason, he didn't wear Rabbeinu Tom tefillin. But it's in Shulchan Aruch.
What did it say?
It says to put a prayer on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and it tells you exactly how to do it, and tells you all the halachas. The mechaber, this is the mechaber. You have a few simonim in Shulchan Aruch telling you all the details of how to wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin.
It says how you were supposed to. So says you're supposed to wear them.
Yeah.
And the Vilna Gaon didn't wear them.
So the Vilna Gaon didn't wear it for whatever reason.
And somebody for the Rishon.
Yeah.
He didn't wear it either.
Yeah.
And one time the Lubavitcher Rebbe came to speak to him. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, why don't you put on the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin? And he said, if you'll give me a present, I'll put it on. So he gave him a present, and they were...
Emotionally put.
But the Vilna Gaon didn't have a chassid together. It's also...
Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky put on. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky put on Rabbeinu Tam, any Rebbe. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was not a Hasidus. No Hasidus. He first put on Rabbeinu Tam when he was 80 years old. 80 years old, he stopped putting Rabbeinu Tam to him. And they say, we come to Ilam HaEmes, they'll see Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam say, you learned my Tosfos. You didn't wear my tefillin. It's not Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin you should know, because Rabbeinu Tam would hold the tefillin is not his puzzle. It's just one, it's not really Rabbeinu Tam, it's just one prat in Rabbeinu Tam of the way the parashios are positioned. There are many different ways, halachos Rabbeinu Tam require in order for it to be his tefillin. I tell you, just one thing important, is that there is such a concept that you should do something at least once in your life. There's such a concept. I don't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. I don't wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. But I hope one day, I mean, right opportunity, put on once. Person should put on Rabbeinu Tam. You should have the experience once in your life of doing something which is chashid, even though I don't do it. I'm not a chassid. I'm not, but if I can go one day to a Hasidic Tish to see what it's about, I will go. It's not a Yehari Val Yava. Okay, we have.
Because of that, we end up thinking Korach is on a higher level than Moshe.
No, that's what I told you. I clarified
for
you.
I'm not like Korach. Korach was on this level. He was on such a level that he should understand
the Drush.
I'm not up there yet.
This is a Tiba Shabayam. The Drush is the mistake of Korach is the Drush is Rabbeinu Tam without Rashi. That's the Drush. That's the essence of the Drush. And it's only Drush. And it's a Tiba Shabayam of who Korach was and what was Moshe, what was Machalik Sadat. There are many Mahalachim. I want to present one Mahalach. Okay, one book. Okay, it's quick Vard. We have over here. This is a Vard about after the aftermath of Korach. Hashem says that the people here don't believe that I appointed Korach. I want to make a simon. The simon is, take a mata, and put the mata inside before the Aron, before in the oil moed. And I want you to take not one mata, 12 matas. On every mata, I want you to write the name of the Nasi. Each shevet has a Nasi. Everyone's jealous of Aron. Why is Aron the Kohen Gadol? Why not the other tribes? Why shevet Levi? Did Aron, was he zoicha to be the Kohen Gadol? The other tribes, they also want to be the Kohanim Gedolim. They also want a chance. So take a matah, and on the matah write everyone's name, and put the 12 matos in the oil moed. Come back the next day, and it says, Vayotzei tzitz, Vayigmol, before the tzitz, perach, first was a perach, Vayetzei perach, Vayotzei tzitz, Vayotzei tzitz, the best thing would be to read the pasuk. Believe it or not, that would be the best thing to do. Hard as it may seem, as challenging as that may seem to the mind, here it goes. Kach neitam mate mate l'beisav. Write down everyone's name, and it says v'hoyo ish asher efchar boi mateo yifroch. And then it goes on to say what happened by himi mocharos v'yavoy moshe l'oil hoedus. V'hinei parach mate harin l'beis levi v'yotzei ferach. First came a flower. Vayotzei tzitz. Then came a bud. Tzitz is a bud. And then vayigmol shkedim almonds. Three things. Moshe takes it out. Vayotzei Moshe es kol hamatos mufnei Hashem el kol bnei Yisrael. Vayiru vayikhu ish mateyu. Everyone sees the mate. No complaints. Kasha. In this world, there are three stages. First comes the flower. Then comes the bud. And then the bud develops into an almond. When the bud develops, what happens to the flower? Falls away. When the bud develops, what happens? It turns into the almond. There's no more bud. They're mutually exclusive. These are three different stages of development. First comes the flower. And then under the flower, the bud begins to develop. And as the bud gets a little bit bigger, the flower falls away. And the bud turns into an almond. Here they come out. And what do they have? They have here all three. Half-flavor fella. It says on the matah, Moshe comes out the next day. They see all three. There's a flower, there's a bud, and there are also developed almonds. What's going on? This was the simon. What does it mean this was the simon? Why was Aaron chosen? What was the complaint? Why is Aaron the one that's chosen to serve as the Kohen God? Why not? This Nasi, and that Nasi, and that Nasi. Hashem is telling them, you can't take shortcuts. Now we have a Mishkan. Now there's an opportunity to go into the Avodah. All of you have received dosages of Kedusha. Hashem has bestowed upon every person here by Matan Torah, by Har Sinai. You saw the Shechina. All of you are now in the gather of almonds. You've developed. But most of you have skipped the steps. All of the people who were complaining and felt deprived, where were you all along? Aaron was the leader of Klal Yisrael all along. When Klal Yisrael, during the years of Shiva, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't on the scene. Moshe Rabbeinu was chased away. He was a sakana for his life. He was in the palace of Paro, and he killed the Egyptian, and Paro found out that it was Moshe Rabbeinu that killed one of his servants, killed one of the Egyptians, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a wanted man. He had to flee. He went away to Yisrael. Who was in charge all of those years? Aaron. Aaron was 80 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu returned. Aaron, so we don't know the exact age when Moshe Rabbeinu went away. But l'chayim, there must have been at least 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Who was in charge? Aaron. Aaron was the Rav. He was the Mar d'Asra. He was the president. He was the community leader. He was the mayor. He was everything. He nurtured Klal Yisrael from the very, very start. And in those days, there was no Har Sinai, there was no Torah, there was no Shabbos, there was nothing. He was dealing with people that were depressed, that suffered. And he cared for them. He developed them. He nurtured them. Hashem says to Moshe, go back. You're going to take Bnei Yisrael out of the desert. What is Moshe's first thing he says? Me? I have no right. That was says in the Medrash. What right do I have to step on my Aaron's toes? It's his turf. I've been away all these years. Aaron is a speaker. Aaron is the leader. He's the God of Hadar. It's none of my business to come and step on his toes, to come there and take over. Hashem says, don't worry, I understand. Aaron will be the spokesman, but you're going to lead. And don't worry, Aaron will be very happy. He'll be very happy for you to come and help him out. But Aaron went through the process. Aaron went through all of the steps. He developed the flower. He produced the bud. And now he nurtured into the almond. The rest of Klal Yisrael miraculously had almonds, but they didn't have the steps, didn't go through the stages. And that's what Hashem was telling everyone. It's not just that this is what Hashem wants. Certainly Hashem would decide it's not right. Aaron is the only one who was Vayotzeitz, the Perach, the Tzitz, and the Shkedim. He has all of the stages, all of the steps of development. And you don't have that. You're coming now late in the scene. It's the bottom of the ninth. Here I am. I'm a.
He was there. He was the leader during all the stages right of their development.
Okay, fine. Okay. You can finesse it in different ways. That's the point the Pasuk here is making. This is a very important thing to take note of. All three stages. Vayotze Ferach, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayigmol Shkedim. That is why all three are there. This is the uniqueness of Aaron compared to the other candidates of leadership in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Very, very, very important. Yom Monday, I'm not going to be here, and we have the good fortune. Our very own Rav Michal Miller will be giving the shiur Monday morning, 9:30 sharp. Not like me, who comes late every day.
Okay.
Yeah, Mir Tashem.
Yes,
every day. Every